Ephesians chapter 4 again, if you would, please. We're going to kind of continue somewhat from last Sunday night, but also make a few different directed turns. Because I want us to understand what it means to be a part of the local church. And in particular, the local church as it pertains to the body of Christ. And as we move forward for the Lord, and as our church grows, we want to continue to be one as a church. Amen? And that's important for each church as we go forward for Christ. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we'll be reading here. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. Just these first 16 verses. And Paul is writing here to the church of Ephesus. And he says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, the primary reason that we're going through these things and trying to understand maybe a little more depth than just a term, the body of Christ, is because we as a church need to be on the same page. Amen? We need to be organized. We need to be moving forward in the same direction. What kind of a body is a body that's all spastic, you know, the arm going off this way and the leg going off this way? And that's not a right kind of functioning body. The body needs to be all in one accord and in one place. Amen? That's a good way for a body to exist. And so we want to be that kind of body. And whether you're here, you've been a member here a long time, maybe you've been here a member a short time, maybe you've been attending, seeing if you want to become a member here, whatever it is, I believe that we need to know what the church is all about. Whether you're kind of been here a long time or a short time or just been here a little while as far as visiting goes, the church should be an open book. That's what it should be, right? And there shouldn't be any question why we do the things that we do around here. You know, it takes a whole group of people to make a church work. But if the volunteers and the people in leadership aren't going according to what the body is supposed to be, and aren't going according to what Christ, the head of the body, says it's supposed to be, then it's going to be a dysfunctional body. And we all need to be on the same page. We all need to be moving forward in these things. So, with that said, last time we talked about the body of Christ, that we, the church, are the body of Christ. And that we, the believer, are a particular member of that body of Christ that God has set in the body. I love that passage of scripture. It is fantastic because it describes, again, like I said this morning, God's the one driving all of this. You see, it's unfortunate that a quote-unquote denomination or a quote-unquote group of people think that they're driving all this. But it's not. It's God that's driving all of this. These are God's commands, God's requirements, God's dictations. These are the things that we need to hear from God. So over in in Ephesians chapter 1, just flip a few chapters back. We want to focus tonight on who is the head of all this stuff. Okay? This is the body of Christ. And so we're going to say, okay, well, if this is the body of Christ, then who is the head? Oh, I know, pick me. It's the pastor. No, it's not the pastor. Oh, I know, it's the chairman of the deacon board. Why all the laughter? I know lots of heads of deacon boards. They're nice people, predominantly. Okay, no. It's Christ. See, how can the head be the body of Christ? It doesn't have to make sense. Okay? Because he is the head of the body. We read it in our text that Christ is the head of the body. He's the head of all these things. And that's how it's supposed to be. But over here in Ephesians, Paul mentions it once again. And he says this, wherefore, in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now let's pause right there. What does that kind of remind you of? James chapter 1, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, okay? All right, so it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay, remember, this is his calling, this is his purpose, this is his body, right? He is the head, okay, which means that gets to control everything. Okay, we can go back to my scoffing at the bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. Okay? That's stupid. No, God is your pilot. He is the head. Okay? He is not the co-head. He's the head, right? And Brother Smith always used to say anything with more than one head is a monster. Okay? So we need to understand that we need to understand that God is the head, and that's how it needs to be. So it says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, and ye that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you notice that phrase? Where his glory? The riches of his inheritance is what? Us. The body. Did you know that you're valuable to God? You are. You're bought with a price, aren't we not? We're valuable to God. He thought it was worth the price of his son to buy us. Isn't that an amazing thought? God, we're valuable to God. And guess what? Your membership in the body is valuable to God. You should value your church membership more than your membership to the local gym. You should value your membership more than your membership to Sam's Club. Right? Hey, you should value your membership more than your membership, let's see, ooh, to the public library. Oh, more than your membership to the NRA. Okay? You should value your membership more than any of those things. Well, if you value your membership in the body, in the local church, then guess what you're going to do? Support it. Right? In tithes and offerings. Support it in attendance. Because, why? Because it's valuable. So we're valuable to Him. So he goes on, he says this, he says, inheritance saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? He says, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, pay attention to these words, because did we not read some of these similar words in chapter 4? Yes. Yes, we did. Did you notice this, that we're supposed to, in verse 15 of our text, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, right? So it said that. And then it said, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Back in verse 12, he said, these things are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what does that mean? Well, that means to us is that we, the church, His body, are supposed to be full of Christ. Now, this is very similar to what the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, now, we give the illustration, oftentimes, when we're talking about the Holy Ghost. It is not any different to give the same illustration about Jesus Christ and the local church. Folks, if we're full of ourselves, we're not full of Christ. If we're full of numbers, and if we're full of finances, and full of organization and structure, and full of these things, but we're not full of Christ, then we're empty. Okay, do you understand? Yes, those business things are part of what the local church is. It's part of what I do as a pastor. It has to be, but if that's what we are, if we're just a business, if we're just a corporation, if we're just a numbers game, we had this many, and we're reporting this and reporting that, and if that's all it is to us, then we're not the body of Christ. Then we're not full of Christ like we're supposed to be. He's the head. He's supposed to have control. He's supposed to be in us and through us and us all together, right? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, right? It needs to be all that we are. Those other things will just come naturally. Those other things can be tended to in the Spirit of Christ and with the mind of Christ. But when those things become what we're looking for, we're not looking for Christ. You understand? Does that make sense to everyone? We've got to understand that as Paul is trying to tell this church at Ephesus, by the way, Ephesus is a good church. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Check this out. I'm glad God just brought this to my mind. Ephesus is a good church. But look what they did. Verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. That this is a great church. Strong church. Blowing and going independent Baptist church. But what was Paul saying back in Ephesians 1? What was Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 3 or 4? He says, hey, this needs to be about Christ. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of Christ. And he says in here in Revelation, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake. It does not say that they lost their first love. They left it. We cannot afford to leave our first love. Christ has to remain our first love. All that we do, all that we're here for, all that we're about, has to be about Christ. It's His body. He's the head. We're supposed to be full of Jesus Christ. Cannot afford to be full of Eric. You cannot afford to be full of you, cannot afford to be full of business, cannot afford to be full of anything else. We've got to be full of Jesus Christ. That's how the church needs to operate. That's how we have to go day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Because it's His body. And it needs to be the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm doing an experiment tonight. I'm actually taking you to these passages of Scripture to see if it's really me that's keeping us behind or you. No, I'm just kidding. Colossians chapter... I know it's me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. About Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. Understand, this is what we're talking about with the body and with Christ and being filled. Christ has to be before all things. Before how I feel about something, I have to consider Christ. Before I do something, I need to consider Christ. Before I make this choice, I need to consider Christ. Before I make this decision, I need to consider Christ. Before I do this or do that or do anything else, I need to consider Christ. And that's how the local church is supposed to operate. Do you know that the decisions that I make, that we make as a church, affect the name of Christ? Why? Because this is a church. And it's associated with who? Christ. Because He's the head of the church. It is His body. So guess what? We need to consider Him before all things. And then it says, and by Him all things consist. Well, that sounds interesting because the Bible says that we're supposed to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, right? That's what it says in Ephesians in our text. And then it says in verse 16, from whom the whole body? From whom? Who's the whom? Christ, the head. From the head, the whole body is fitly joined together. Well, that makes sense. That's what Paul is saying here in Colossians. He says that He's the head of the body, who's the beginning, the firstborn by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. We need to make sure we are making in every decision, in every function, in the nursery, in the ushers, in the audiovisual, in the music program, in the children's church, in the bus ministry, as a trustee or a deacon, as a pastor, in every office, in every place in the local church, Christ must have first place. Every consideration, every decision, every requirement, every policy, every principle, Jesus Christ should be all in all. That's how it should be. And when I choose to be a Sunday school teacher, and there are these set of guidelines and these set of requirements, I shouldn't consider how it's going to affect me. I should consider how it's going to affect Christ. And if it says, okay, you must wear this, or you must not have this in your life, or you must refrain from this, or you must be a part of this, then it ought to be okay. Well, how is this going to affect Christ? And if I choose this, all right? And because it's going to affect Christ positively, I'm in. And I'm going to abide by these policies, and I'm going to adhere to these rules, these guidelines, these requirements, because it's not about me. It's about Christ. You see, what most people do when they start considering volunteer leadership in the local church or being a part of this or part of that, well, why can't I? Well, so and so doesn't. I thought everything was coming from the head, not coming from how I feel about it. You know, I don't ask my fingers how they feel about doing something. I don't ask my feet how they feel about doing something. I don't ask my arm. I don't ask my heart. I don't ask my lungs. Now, they bark back when they don't like what I'm doing. Like running up and down a basketball court that's so many times. but I don't ask them. They do it because it's coming from the head. And guess what? When I want this, it responds. When I want this, it responds. It doesn't ask. You say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, I don't want to live that way. Well, I don't want to... Wait, is it about you or is it about Christ? That's what we're talking about. We're trying to understand what this body, what this church is supposed to be. He goes on, he says, that he might have the preeminence, for please the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. There's that word again. That's three different places this word fullness is used. Don't you think that's kind of important? Concerning the body of Christ, this thing of fullness pleases God. When we're filled with the Spirit, it pleases God. When we're filled with Christ, it pleases God. When in the body of the church, the local church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, when all the fullness of Christ dwells, it pleases God. Don't you want to please God? Be full of the Spirit. Don't you want to please God? Be full of Christ. Be full of His fullness, not our fullness. It pleases the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Then he goes on and says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What does that mean? That means when we live in that old nature, when we live in that old life, when we're full of ourselves and not full of him, we're alienated. We're enemies. How would you like your hand to be an enemy of yourself? That wouldn't feel very good. Right? You wouldn't like that. Listen, so we ought not to be at odds with the body, and we are by our wicked works. He says we've been reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Crucify the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Take up your cross and follow him, right? You understand? We're supposed to kill the body, our flesh, not the body of Christ. Don't kill the body of Christ. We're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is in what? In Christ Jesus. These are all things that the Bible uses to help the church understand what our vocation is, to walk worthy in the vocation wherewith ye are called. It's our job, because Christ is the head of the body of Christ. And no, that's not redundant. Now, he says we've been reconciled to present you a holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Back in our text, did you notice what he said? That as the body of Christ is filled with Christ and is unified and edified, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. When does the church become perfect? When we're filled with Christ. Because who is perfect? Christ. Who's not perfect? Everybody else. Yeah? This is about him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, that's a capital H in your King James Bible, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, ye are subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So Paul very clearly says, look, it's not about the flesh. It's about the spirit. It's about being alive in Christ. That's what we are to focus on. He is the head. That's where all the joints of the body and all the bands and all the nourishment is ministered. Did you recognize that phraseology? It was in our text that we read. From whom, that's the head, right? The whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. No, Paul didn't have amnesia. Paul didn't have a memory disorder. He was preaching the same thing to Ephesus as he was to Colossae. Why? Because it was the truth. The people at Ephesus needed it. The people at Colossae needed it. And guess what? We need it today. Christ is the head of the body of Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. Well, you guys are doing great. So it is me, not you. So not only is Christ the head of the body, which is the body of Christ, but he's also the bridegroom and husband of the bride of Christ, which is the church. See, how can a church be a body and a bride? Well, a bride has a body, right? No. Yeah. No, because they're different descriptions of the same thing. So Christ is the head of the body, but he's also the head of the bride. As a husband is the head of his wife. And listen, I know our world doesn't like that terminology today, but I'm sorry, it's just Bible terminology. I promise you, all you people out there that are mad at me right now, I didn't make this up. And our Baptist forefathers didn't make this up. God just simply printed it in Scripture. So I'm going to read it to you, okay? Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Okay? And it says here that he is the savior of the body. You see, boy, my head is spinning. I don't understand all this. He's the head. It is the body of Christ. And he's the head of the body of the Christ. Christ is the head of the body. Then he's the bridegroom. He's the husband. I'm confused. Don't be confused. All you need to know is one thing, is that Christ is the head. And he's supposed to fill it all. As the head of the body, as the bride of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ, as the husband of the bride, he's all those things. And that's what Christ is. He's all in all. You know, all is one of my favorite words. It's the biggest little word I know. Because it's all. Okay? And so, it says here that he's the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ. You see, a lot of times folks will focus on the fact that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands, and that's a good illustration. But that's not what this passage of Scripture is entirely about. It's about our relationship as the church to Christ. So he gives us this example, and then he says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Does Christ care about his church? Yes. Does Christ care about his body? Does Christ care about his bride? Yes. So much so that he gave himself. He is the savior of the body. He said that he did that. That he might sanctify, that means to set apart, and to cleanse, that means to cleanse. To cleanse it with the washing of water, by the word. Ladies and gentlemen, we have this book. It's not just a display. It's not just something we hold on, tuck under our arms and say, well, I'm one of them Bible-believing Baptists. No, no, no. It's something we're to use. This needs to be our guide. God has given us what we need to be the right kind of member of the body, the right kind of bride, the right kind of partner in Jesus Christ. We have these things. So why do we ignore them? Why do we not read them? Why do we say, well, God didn't really mean that? It's outdated. It does not apply to 2023. Yes, it does. He gave himself for the church, that he might present it a glorious, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You understand? God's clearing up the confusion between the bride and the body and the church and all. Hello? The two become one? And that's exactly how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be one with Christ. He's supposed to be the head. Everything's supposed to come from him. And he's supposed to fill us as his church. If Christ fills us, are we going to be perfect? Yes. If Christ fills us, are we going to be without spot? Yes. Without wrinkle? Yes. Without any such thing? Without any blemish? Yes, 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 and yes, because he is without all those things. He says, for no other man yet hated his own flesh. Amen to that. But nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Colon. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Folks, it's a great mystery, but it's been revealed unto us. It's been spelled out for us. We need to make sure that Christ is the head, the physical head, if you will, of the body, and or the metaphorical head, the husband, the head of the wife. Either way, he's supposed to be the head. And he's supposed to be what we're filled with. He's supposed to be where we get our orders from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, and that he's filling us all in all. That's how the local church is going to be successful. That's how we're going to be able to be the brightest lighthouse in the community. That's how we're going to be able to continue to grow in grace and in the admonition of the Lord, because Christ is our head as the body of Christ. Let me give you just one thing of encouragement. Again, I have more verses. How did I end up with more verses left over than I had last time? And I used some of the same verses. Oh well. Philippians chapter 4. Oh no, I'm going to do 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Hey, time out. That's not the way the body works, is it? No, walking after what Christ wants, not our own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What kind of church is that? That's a church that hasn't left their first love. That's a church that is full of Christ. He says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire and shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Why? Because he's the head of the body of Christ.